Welcome back. Second episode of the week.
Hey, how you doing?
And we have T-Baby. He's back. He's going to be asking the questions and maybe answering some for our mailbag episode. We've got a ton of questions to get to. T-Baby, anything you want to say before we begin?
Yeah, my name's T-Money, not T-Baby.
I changed it.
Oh, okay. Well,
because you're T-Baby like, here. You're, what are you, 20 years old?
24.
Oh, jeez. I thought you were much younger.
No, that's Ryan. Ryan's the infant.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ryan. But Ryan is also the guy that thinks he knows everything about everything.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Mickey D's overlord. Yeah. Okay. I know nothing about nothing. That's my specialty.
Oh, except League of Legends, apparently.
Yeah, I'm a master.
Yeah, well, what can you expect from somebody who's half Korean?
Wait, what? I'm not half Korean.
That must be someone else, too. Maybe you should bail me out and start asking these damn questions. Thanks to everybody who submitted a question, by the way, if we don't get to that or anything. And we'll do another one of these in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. If you don't get your question answered. So take it away.
All right. There's a lot more this time. Okay, first question. On a scale of from zero to insert meme about fixed fights, I'm going to choose Floyd McGregor, because McGregor obviously won as early stoppage. How fixed do you think the Gamboa fight was, and where do both fighters go from here? And the question asks you to expand on Sosa. He doesn't fucking care about Gamboa. He can get put into retirement by Castellanos. Thanks, and that one's from the Yellow Emperor.
Okay, so first of all, I take a little bit of offense to that name, Yellow Emperor. Okay, you know what you're
doing. He's from Discord. I know him. I think he's like, he's in China. He's like doing some like, he got like a law internship in China or something. So good on him.
Did he help Lonzo Ball and his family Lonzo Ball's brother get out of prison?
Yeah, I think actually he was the lead on that one.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, look, I don't think the fight was necessarily fixed. I don't think there was this like conspiracy that like really what benefit is there to keep Gamboa relevant by having him beat Jason Sosa? Think about that, okay? And Sosa is the story in that fight. Whether the fight was, you know, he won or lost based off what the card said, I think Sosa looked good enough to be a B-side. You could easily pass him off as an opponent if you're, like, setting up a title fight. And we have lots of guys at that division who need fights. Burchelt is going to be coming back soon off of an injury. He's going to need a fight. Sosa is a tough but easy test for him. I think the winner of Salido and Castellanos, who should have retired Gamboa, they will need an opponent. Gervonta Davis needs an opponent. The winner of Francisco Vargas versus Stephen Smith surely should not get Burchelt. They need an opponent. Sosa could fight Takashi Miura if he's interested in fighting again. There's a lot of things that you can do with Sosa. With Gamboa, I think it's a hard sell to put him in one of these fights. And it's a little irresponsible of his promoter at this point because he's going to get knocked out.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that.
I watched like two rounds in the middle of this fight, so I didn't know it was even a robbery. I just like watched two rounds and I saw that he won. And I was like, oh, I guess he won then.
Yeah, that's how you should be watching fights. You just pop in two rounds. All right, I get the gist of this, where this is going.
Yeah, that's how I watch all my fights. With Kovalev rebounding, who in the division do you think could topple him, bar Stevenson, as that will never happen?
Okay, the trendy answer is Dmitry Bivol. Oh, he's so young and he's so talented and he has a great trainer and he turns his hand when he throws his right hand and he can land on anybody. The realistic answer is nobody. Like, really. Nobody in the light heavyweight division is even in the conversation with Kovalev at this point. And Stevenson, yes, that probably will never happen. And at this point, like, age, you have to take that into consideration. And I don't, like, we'll see how he looks in his next fight, if he ever fights again. I don't think that anybody should be considered even close to being a favorite or even money with Kovalev at this point.
What about the real reason that Ward retired? I'm talking about Beterbiev. He's ducking him.
Beterbiev would get stopped by Kovalev in under 8 rounds. Beterbiev is no good.
Fake news.
So you're one of those people. Okay.
I'm just here to spread the conspiracies. If you had the ability to make one politically difficult fight happen in 2018, what would you choose and why? This is from White Ranger Rollins.
Who I oh no, that's a different guy.
No, that's Walker, Texas Ranger.
So everyone wants to waste their time. Oh, you didn't put that. Somebody wrote, so this is a Google document and anybody can edit. So like people edit other people's questions and somebody messaged me is like, could you tell this person to stop making racist comments on my questions and stuff like that. So but somebody wrote the correct answer was Mikey versus Lomachenko. And look, if you're gonna answer this question, you're gonna waste your politically difficult fight getting made card on a mismatch because that's what Mikey versus Lomachenko is. It's a mismatch. Seriously, that's a mismatch, okay? And so is Terence Crawford versus Mikey Garcia at this point. Now, why do I say that? It's not that these guys aren't talented and that possibly these fights could be competitive because who knows, they could be. But I'm not wasting this on a fight where there are built-in excuses. Seriously, if Mikey loses, oh well, it's because he was flabby at 140, so he stood no chance at 143 against Crawford. And same thing with Lomachenko. This guy started at 126. He goes up to 135 to fight Mikey, and he got knocked out. He couldn't take the punch, whatever. Or his power didn't carry, so he couldn't pressure the way he normally does. I'm not wasting it on a fight where somebody has to come up and wait or anything like that. Rigondeaux Lomachenko is the same thing. There's questions about that later. You'll hear my opinion on that. I think Wilder Joshua is like the pick. Like, let's just get it over with. Wilder versus Joshua. We all know it's going to be fun. There's no excuses for this one. They're both heavyweights. Like, why not choose this fight instead of these fights where it's more of a pound for pound fight night champion sort of dream match versus in reality, it's not as great as you think.
Okay. I'm gonna put my politically difficult fight as I want to see the third Charlie Z versus Wilder match. Charlie's up 2-0, and I want to see if Wilder can bring it back in the trilogy.
Any interest in Floyd Senior versus Charlie Z?
Oh, I mean, Charlie Z already embarrassed Floyd Senior, so I don't see much point in dredging that up again. Just let Floyd Senior retire in peace.
Okay.
Okay, so next question is Brakus the GOAT. Someone wrote, no one cares about female in boxing if she is Japanese. Oh, that's two responses. So, yeah, I feel like I don't care about female boxing, but you can go ahead and
I
answer
don't
this
know.
one.
Yeah, she is, I guess. I don't know. I don't
All
follow
right.
female boxing like that. As most of the people listening, you don't really follow female boxing. Is she the greatest of all time? I don't know. I don't have anything to compare her to. She's the greatest of our generation, that's for sure.
Uh-oh. The leaf blower is coming to my window soon. You might hear him.
Start taking off your clothes. He'll go away real quick.
Where were we? Okay, so let's hear an in-depth analysis of the recently mandated Char versus Oquendo title fight. Oquendo, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Okay.
we hear
If
it.
possible, focus on. Oh, you do hear
Yeah, tell him to blow away this shit question.
it? What? You don't want to hear about how both would soundly defeat Dillian White?
Yeah,
Because
that's part of
Dillian
it.
White is he's huge. He's a huge pull.
Look, the heavyweight division is really prone to
Let me
have
mute
these
my mic real quick.
disgusting fights. Like the heavyweight division has these fights that are just terrible. And we just recently had what was a title fight from this past weekend? No, it was Char versus Usyk. That was a terrible fight. And we just get these fights all the time where the heavyweight division just has these, like Malik Scott versus Luis Ortiz. And specifically, if a fight is for the WBA regular title, you know for sure that that fight is most likely going to be trash. So, with the exception of the time, again, when Luis Ortiz had the title, he had like one or two quick fights that he got done quick. But for the most part, if you got a WBA regular title, that fight is trash. So ignore all those fights. They're disgusting. You don't need to watch them. Dillian White definitely deserves to fight for that because he would put on a terrible performance. And you can throw guys like Kevin Johnson in there. You can throw your Derek Chisora is in there. These are just guys that like they can't make good fights. It's just nothing but holding, and they there's no accuracy with their punches. So, like, you know, you just get terrible fights. I ignore these kind of fights. I mean, I'll watch them if they're you know, going to be on a Saturday afternoon, because usually they happen in odd parts of Europe. And I hate my life after watching them.
All right. I'm glad you took so long to answer that question, because that guy was like sitting outside my window revving his leaf blower, I swear.
Dude, he was probably waiting for you to start removing clothing.
Usually that happens, but I think he's a little disappointed. This week I took the strip off. Usually I'll strip for him, you know, give him a little treat for their hard work.
When you say take the strip off, do you mean like you shaved your landing strip?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. I'm glad you picked up on that.
Okay.
Next question. When Rigo beats Loma, I skipped one. If Rigondo outboxes Loma, will they give him the decision? I'm going to say it doesn't matter because Rigo's going to starch him.
Well, when we're talking about unrealistic things, we have mm-hmm. things like title will become a big thing in music. And then we have things like Rigondo outboxing and beating Lomachenko. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Let's just say he did outbox him. I think they'd give him a decision. I mean, this is what people want. Like, if you ask this question, this is what you're asking. Bob Arum has a long history of fixing fights. And we know this because of Vonis Martirosyan and the Arislandi Lara fight, which somehow was a draw. And Martirosyan came out and said, like, Arum told me he had it covered. I'm not going to go there.
Okay, next question. When Rigo beats Loma, how do you think he'll dispose of the WBA title?
All right, so again, if Rigondeaux did this, he'll do it Medusa style. He'll show up on HBO, because that's ESPN's rival, I guess, and he'll toss the WBA title in the trash and then talk about how the WBC title is the only one that matters. If you watch wrestling in the 90s, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's before my time.
Yeah, you were born in like 1999.
93, come on. We can do some basic math here.
Wait.
I told you I'm 24.
Seriously?
93 is when I was born, yeah.
All right, fine.
Fucking, it's basic math. So, is Crawford definitely moving up, or is he holding on to his 140 belts for a reason? Someone says, he already moved up. Are you sleeping? Lots of bruhs here. Bruh, when did he drop the belt? When he got put at 147, the number one WBA rankings, technically hasn't vacated. This is like more of a conversation than a question.
Right, so just read it, because someone answered the question for us.
Okay, so someone is Crawford definitely moving up, or is he holding onto his 140 belt? Someone says, he's already moved up, you sleeping? And then they responded with, when did he drop the other belts then? And they said, when he got put at 147, number one in the WBO rankings. I think he technically hasn't vacated the WBC yet, but it's just a formality. Imam Ramirez is for the WBC 140.
Which is, like, terrible. We went from Terrence Crawford to a guy that Adrian Granados beat, and then I think it's Jose Ramirez, who's just...
Well, according to Adrian Granados, he also beat Sean Porter.
We all know who won that fight.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. All right, so here we got a question from Tweed.
Tweed put a lot of questions, and they're all good.
Mm-hmm. He's made some unkind remarks about me in the Slack chat recently, though. So, from the following, who do you believe has the right combination of everything? Boxing skills, business knowledge, personality, mentality to become the next boxing superstar. This is going to be in terms of achievement or popularity or both. He lists some, or someone, I don't know if it's him, lists some nominations, and they said Spence, Mikey Garcia, Terrence Crawford, Lomachenko, Wilder, AJ, Fury, and anyone else that you think he might have missed.
Well, I think... before answering that question, we got to look at, like, what is a boxing superstar? Because, in my opinion, I don't think the things that he listed are, like, that's not it. Boxing skills, business knowledge, personality, mentality. That's Timothy Bradley. So why isn't Timothy Bradley a superstar? And I think the answer is, which of these boxers has a potential to transcend boxing? Like, you need to become a superstar to be able to get casual fans who just care about sports in general to say, I'm not going to do this tonight. Instead, I'm going to watch and even buy this guy's pay-per-view and watch him fight. Can any of those guys do that? So let's toss Lomachenko out because that's not happening. Fury can get tossed out as well. That's not happening. And mostly because the guy's got issues.
I think you actually have to fight for this to happen. So
well, that's true. But no guy that fat is it's not happening in boxing. Sorry, pal. Mikey is a long shot, and as well as Crawford and Spence, they just lack that special something. You can just tell in a conversation when a guy has it, you know. And I don't think either of those guys have it. Like you watch their interviews and they're not that engaging. I know a lot of people love Spence's voice. Are you one of those?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care much about his voice. I think he's like probably one of the funnest to watch. But like even in his interviews, he just kind of seems boring and plain outside of the ring.
Yeah, I think like there's no intensity. Like Crawford has a very quiet intensity, but as a casual fan, it's not obvious because you're not gonna be like Crawford's not making ESPN highlights for something he said in an interview or something like that.
Yeah, Crawford's like the king of one word answers.
Yeah, and that leaves us Joshua and Wilder, and that they're the answer here because both of them, I think Joshua isn't like Wilder. Like Wilder will say some stuff and make you laugh, and you want to watch him fight. Joshua's not like that, but Joshua is like a freak.
Joshua says some other stuff.
Yeah, Joshua says some stuff and makes you either want. Never mind. So I think they're the answer. Like Joshua's a freak. Like you see Joshua, you see the way he looks, how big he is, and how he's knocking dudes out. And it's like I gotta watch that guy. That guy looks like, you know, if they trained, I don't know, the Big Show how to fight for real. And the guys that, a couple of guys that got left out, and I think they have a lot more potential while maybe not being as skilled as some of the other guys on this list is the Charlo brothers. They have it.
Oh yeah.
You got to be engaging, whether that is to, and get people to care. It's all about selling yourself, and you may not like their style, but it works. People talk people listen when they talk. When people, you have the opportunity to listen to the post-fight interview for Mikey Garcia and Jermall Charlo. Who are you picking?
Oh, sorry. What did you say?
I mean, it was a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you any questions. Okay. I know your answers.
What is my answer then? What am I going
to
say?
You say Charlo. Like, I asked if you had the opportunity to listen to either Mikey's post-fight interview or Jermall Charlo's. Who are you picking?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right, Charlo. You got me. You got me pinned.
And I can't ask you, you know, who would you rather listen to, Jermall's or Lomachenko? You would obviously pick Jermall because you don't know what the hell Lomachenko's saying.
It's a fucking little tiny dude.
Okay, and then there's that.
Yeah. If there was a Super Six with promoters, excluding X-Fighters, obviously, Aram, DiBella, Heyman, Hearn. Obviously, come on. Aram, DiBella, Heyman, Hearn, Don King, and Richard Schaefer. Who wins?
This is an easy question, okay? It's Lou DiBella. Have you seen this guy?
Okay, that's what I picked too. Okay, good.
He's got like some, like, that guy's got a temper. Okay? Now, first of all, Aram is really old and, he's frail looking, okay?
He's fragile.
Aram is like 5'3 and hunched over, and like, when you see him in person, it's like, wow, this does not show up on TV. Heyman is way too skinny. He looks like a tall guy, but he's too skinny. Don King, I mean, should I say bless him? But I don't know about 2018 for him.
Yeah, Don King is like, he's got bodies, but he's past his prime.
Quite well past it. Like in the Deadpool for 2018, like the odds are, you're not going to get a good line on Don King. Richard Schaefer will probably figure out a way for us to make money out of all of this, and Eddie Hearn will probably hype it up and ultimately fail to live up to any sort of expectations. So I'm going with DiBella.
I think that's probably a safe pick. That's the same one. If you could change one result in boxing history, which would it be?
I'd like to know what you think.
I think this question is it's an interesting one. I'd probably say McGregor knocks out Floyd. Can I just change it from a decision, one knockout to the other?
Well, basically, I mean, what you mean to say is, can we just have the referee not stop it at that point?
Yeah.
Because you know what was happening the next round.
How much did he get paid? That's what I want to know. That's what a question should be. How much did the ref get paid?
Oh man. For the sheer chaos of what, and it, it's interesting because everything will come back to Floyd at some point. But the one result I would change is the result of the first Ortiz Berto fight. Like a lot of people sleep on that because that was a landmark moment in the welterweight division. So much rode on that fight, and the welterweight division played out, and like that changed the course of the welterweight division because everybody was basically like, "I want my shot at Floyd," and Floyd wasn't back yet. He hadn't returned to boxing. He was coming out of retirement. Like, let's say Berto destroyed Ortiz, would Floyd have come back? What would have happened to Victor Ortiz? Like, think of all the opportunities that Ortiz got after that. Think about Berto. If Berto had won and maybe he got the Floyd fight and lost, like what happens to Berto after that? You know, a lot of guys have these wins over both Berto and Ortiz. Like, just a ton of crazy stuff happens from the fallout of that fight. And I think that even changes the landscape of what Golden Boy would ultimately accomplish at welterweight. You can even draw it back to would Golden Boy have went to Showtime? I don't know.
I'm going to change my decision, actually. I want to give Paulie the decision over Broner because I think he should be able to keep his side piece. So that's what I'm going for. Paulie gets to keep his side piece from Broner because...
Does he still lose the fight?
No, he gets a decision because that was what the bet was.
The Are bet you was kidding me?
Wasn't that the bet? Whoever wins the fight gets the other one's side piece?
I don't know. I just kind of...
Don't you remember that interview when Paulie takes the mic and is all mad that Broner has a side piece?
Don't brag about taking my side piece. Don't brag. Yeah. Don't brag. I mean, he looked really hurt, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to give him the win.
I don't know. I erased that from my memory.
Okay. With the 140 division wide open, who do you think can be a major player in the division, and why is it Rigaroo?
Do you know who that is?
No.
Regis Progray.
What?
Regis, like Regis Philbin?
Yeah.
Progray is his last name. He's from Louisiana. And he's the future of the division. The guy looks legitimately really good. And if Mikey comes to 140, then, you know, you have to say that it's his division. The Brits probably want us to mention Josh Taylor. And... you know, Jose Ramirez appears to be up to something at 140. Alex Saucedo's on his way up. He's very young. He's good. He's aggressive. Ceiling isn't very high, but he could become a player for a little bit at the division. But this is Regis Progray's division at the moment.
Isn't a Rigaroo like a cannibalistic werewolf? Like mythical creature?
Yeah.
So does this guy just eat his opponents?
No, their wives.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. if Mikey stays at 135, can Broner be a champ at 140, or is he a lost cause now?
I think Broner can be a champion at any division if he's focused. And this is the more crucial part of this, if he has the right matchup. I think in boxing, it's pretty easy to get anybody a title shot if you can match him up correctly. Like a focused Broner probably beats Lipinitz. Lipinitz showed some serious flaws in his fight against Hondo, and I think a focused Broner can easily get past the winner of Amir Imam versus Ramirez. Like, that's a pretty simple fight, I think, for Broner if he's focused.
Piston Hondo, is that who he fought?
Yeah.
Would you rather there be a picture of you with your love club out on the internet like Roy, or there'd be a picture of you in high heels and fishnets on the internet like Oscar?
I'd prefer both.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like in one.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Just get it all out at once.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, like, would you think any differently of Roy if he was in fishnets?
No. I'd probably think more of him. It'd open up some interesting Photoshop opportunities.
As if we didn't need any, or as if we needed.
We don't. We don't need much more motivation, but it would definitely be some extra.
Okay. Well, next one
is Gervonta Davis the new Broner.
I think Gervonta is very different from Broner. Gervonta's more of like a troubled kid, you know, who got thrust into the spotlight maybe out of necessity at a pretty young age and still very new in his career. Like while Broner was around the same age when he got a title, the way they were brought up was very different. Like Broner got a world title, but didn't necessarily like. He became arrogant about winning the title and who he had beat, but he hadn't beat anybody. Whereas Gervonta Davis basically got tossed into a really competitive fight and then destroyed the guy who they put in front of him. So just so insofar as like the talent that they've displayed, Davis is way ahead of where Broner was. And Broner was also a guy that got an inflated sense of confidence because not only was he fighting these guys who weren't as good as him, but he was the bigger man. Boiling down to knock these guys out. Davis is a small guy at 130 pounds. I mean, the guy is like 5'5". Broner is a bigger guy with a naturally bigger frame. Davis is not that guy. And I think Davis has had, you know, basically he's got to learn all this on the job. And whereas I think Broner got his hand held along the way with softer matchmaking. And so I think Davis still has a lot to learn. And I think... you know, this is a guy who's hanging in fights because he's actually skilled and not afraid to basically try to knock guys out. He's not knocking them out because he's just bigger. I think Davis has a lot to learn, though, in being a star and a champion in boxing. And, you know, he's in his way right now. But I think it's a very different case. Like, Broner just has that clown mentality. Like, he's not willing to work. And I don't think... Davis has shown that at all. I think Davis is just a guy who's distracted with out of the ring stuff.
Wasn't there like on the Floyd McGregor undercard, wasn't there like talk about Davis just like going out and partying like two or three nights before his fight and stuff like that though?
No, or actually yes.
I heard there's rumors of him being sick, him sick or him partying, but I don't know if any of those were true. But yeah.
Yeah, he's also 23 years old.
He also had some pretty fluffy shorts.
And he had an amazing hat on that I have I have that picture saved on my computer.
Him and Floyd are pretty high fashion.
Yeah, high.
Very high fashion. How long before Canelo and Joshua leave Golden Boy in Matchroom?
Okay, so the indication that they will is that they or their own little companies apply for a promoter's license. But I don't think it's likely that either of them are going to leave. Like, if you really think about it, I can't see them wanting to really do anything other than get a bigger piece of the pie. And that's the difference between guys like Canelo, like Pacquiao, like Marquez, like not Cotto, but all these guys who create their own promotional companies, all they want is they just want a bigger piece of the pie. They want a little more cut. And that's very different from what Oscar and then Floyd did, which is they wanted the entire pie. And they did it. And how you do that is you got to apply for a promoter's license. And I can't really see a guy like Canelo and a guy like Joshua really wanting to do all the work that is entailed in having your own promotional company just so that you can get a bigger paycheck. I think they'll just they'll let Oscar do all the work. And then they'll just sit back and take what they're given.
Okay. What value do you see in us laymen speculating on the machination? Machinations? How do you say that?
I think that's how you say it. Machinations? Machination? Who cares? People know what you're saying.
All right, Tweed. You're dumb for this word. machinations of promoters and networks and governing bodies. A lot of people don't like this drama or get tired of it. Do you see any positives of trying to follow and examine these happenings?
For me, and obviously this isn't exclusive to boxing, but because this is more of a mindset, but like for me, I'm always looking at what people or why people come to the conclusions that they do or why they do the things that they do. Like I'm of the belief that people don't do anything in their lives without a reason that makes 100% sense to them. Like, I just can't believe that you woke up this morning and started, like, muttering nonsense. And then if somebody asked you, why did you do that? You said, like, oh, no. That doesn't happen. You know, people, like, crash into you while you're driving. And it's like, why in the world did you do that? They're like, well, I didn't see you there. So obviously, you know, this left turn into oncoming traffic made sense because I didn't see any cars coming. You know, nobody turns into traffic for no reason. So I'm driven to like see, like to just kind of get, how do people see things? Why does that make sense to them? And why do they do that? And that's what I do with boxing. Like if I look at what a network does or a promoter does, I may not like it or agree with it, but I do want to see why they would do that. Like, why would they make this fight? And it's not always satisfying, you know, but it makes sense. And if I can see their justification, I can at least be okay with it. You know, if you just kind of look at it blindly, it's easy to see it as and get frustrated because you think they're doing it to either, you know, screw the fans over, to piss you off personally because you're that important, or, you know, any other thing like that, or they're just ignorant or something, which they may be, but whatever, you know, that's why they make their decisions.
Okay. I don't really care about it. On the other side of the coin, I kind of just ignore it all. How soon until Thurman leaves boxing? 1 year, 2 years, will he have any good fights to come? Another one from Tweed. And Tweed suggests that he's going to retire from boxing to focus on his ponytail.
I think it all depends on what happens after what happens when he fights Spence. I mean, he could fight a fence, but and I think, how long does that take? You know, when do we see that fight? And I just want to say, I think Keith Thurman, and somebody's going to, like, it's funny how these questions, like, people ask these questions and it's like people read the questions and then like one or two questions later, there's a question about that, like more about that. And I think Thurman is really underappreciated and underrated. And I'm a victim, or not a victim, but guilty of doing that, of underrating Thurman. I mean, he's one of the biggest draws in the sports, and he actually has the numbers to back it up. You know, it doesn't seem that way, but the dude does numbers.
Yeah.
So more on Thurman in a moment.
Yeah, I see Tweed goes back in on Thurman down there a little bit later. Is there a division with a smaller talent pool than heavyweight? Fury is the size of a condo, and it's the modern-day Buster Douglas. Joshua's movement is non-existent. Ortiz does more drugs than prime Lindsay Lohan. Parker looks like British domestic level at the best, and Wilder might have the worst technique out of every champion in boxing right now.
Minimum weight is all I can think of.
I don't know anything. Quite literally. How many people can you name in minimum weight? Go.
One Hangman Yothin. Kiyoshi Iguchi, I think. Why are you doing this?
That's two more than me.
I could just make up names right now and nobody would know.
Yeah, I don't know if they're real. I can't even spell their names.
Deepak or Rungvisai. Kai Inoue. Tamuki. You know, I could just make something. What's his name? Katsunori Takayama. I can make up names. Do you know?
No.
Carlos Lopez.
No, oh, yeah. I love Carlos Lopez.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. I think Keith Thurman sucks.
You have to say this like you're owning it, because this is a good question.
All right. I think Keith Thurman sucks, and I want everyone to know. I think welterweight is a stagnant division right now. Distinction, plenty of Njoba fights, but not a lot of space for movement, and it's pretty defined as to where the top 10 boxer skills fall. Spence is the only interesting guy at the moment. Terrence Crawford, maybe, but we have to see. I think it's unfair for Thurman to assume his supremacy at 147 without seeing him fight for... Oh, shit, I read Crawford. That wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfair to assume Crawford's supremacy at 147 without seeing him fight first. Whether or not you agree with me, you can play devil's advocate and make arguments why Thurman sucks and why welterweight is a stale division or not. That's from Tweed.
So I'll play along. So he basically wants you know, ether on welterweight division.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, welterweight is completely overrated because it receives the most attention. And because there's a microscope on the division, people conflate knowing a fighter's name with having actual skill. So the truth is, welterweight is a completely diluted division with a bunch of guys that have been beaten before. Like, look at the top 10. Thurman barely survived Porter. Who barely survived Broner? Horn lost to Pacquiao. Pacquiao lost to Horn. Danny Garcia has been in more close calls than everyone in the Slack chat browsing in public. and you know what I'm talking about if you're in the Slack chat. Lamont Peterson should have 5 losses in his record. Kell Brook will never fight again. Like, really. The division is overrated.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done. Okay, continue.
That brings us to Crawford and Spence. Spence beat a cripple. Crawford hasn't done anything yet, so what can we say about him?
Well, Spence broke a cripple's face.
His face had already been broken.
He re-broke it. He broke the other side.
You can't re-break something that wasn't broken before. Unless you're talking in general about his face, then sure.
Okay, well then it wasn't broken to begin with. GGG broke it. It fixed, and then he broke it again. Because it was a separate side, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, by the way, I can do this with any division. Like, you can literally you can find something, and that's why boxing fans are insufferable sometimes, because like you can do this in any division.
Look,
and of course people choose to do it.
Did you read the comment from like Static Eruption on the Reddit? He kind of said something similar. I'll paste it there for you if you want to read it. So it's about how you can nitpick any resume you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And he gives an example of Leonard. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should only do it when it serves your argument, of course.
Yeah, of course, obviously. You always got to win the argument. Anyways, continue on with Spence and Crawford and dismantling them.
No, I'm done.
Oh, you don't want to anymore?
No. I mean, it's okay. Stupid.
Why is it stupid?
What do we get out of, like, okay, well, Crawford, you know, who has he really beaten? Like, you can't do that with Crawford. The only argument you can make against Crawford at 147 is he has not yet fought there. But the moment we see Crawford fight at 147 and we're like, oh, yeah, this is the same Crawford, it's game on. He's better than everybody in the division. Crawford is the best fighter in boxing right now.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with that, I don't think. Next question, then. As Spence is still reasonably young and is already a big welterweight, he'll probably move up at some point in his career. How do you think he does at 154?
He'll be fine. I mean, he's a big guy at welterweight already. I mean, the question is, how much better does the talent at 154 get? Because, how easily can Spence step into that? Because 154 is very talented. You have Jermell Charlo, who's getting better. You have Arislan Di Lara, who's impossible to beat, like, cleanly. These guys, like, they take away the size advantage that Spence carries into a lot of his fights. So I think that's just a big question there. How does he do with the size? If he can, just much like Crawford moving up to 147, Spence will be fine.
How much would you pay to see the long-awaited rematch between Pretty Boy Floyd and Oscar Golden Boy De La Hoya in 2018? And should the winner fight Conor McGregor or Manny Pacquiao? That's from White Ranger Rollins.
I'd pay $100 to watch any combination of those four fight.
Yep. Sounds about right.
I mean, I would love to see De La Hoya versus McGregor. Oh my God. That, like, could we please have that fight?
I think they should just put all four of them in a Hell in a Cell match and then charge like $200. And I'd still buy it.
Okay. What would be the undercard?
We're going to have Paulie Broner, Charlie Z, and let's see, one more guy. Let's see. And we got to have a big guy. So we're going to throw Luis Ortiz in there, and it's going to be a tables, ladders, chairs match.
Versus Charlie Z?
Charlie Z and Luis Ortiz and Paulie and Broner. Those four.
Okay, if you could make a tag team boxing match, who would you want to see?
Let's see here. Well, the Charlo brothers.
Ooh, that's good. That's good, yeah. Right there.
And then let's see, what else have we got? Who could go against the Charlo brothers? We could have. This is a good question here.
Yeah,
this is better than any question ever written in this document.
I mean, the Charlo brothers, I think, like, on one hand, it's going to be impossible to beat them because they're twins and they, like, know what each other's thinking.
Yeah, exactly. They're, like, telepathic. Like,
you'd have to get two guys with, like, insane chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
like, could we put Golovkin in there with like a mystery partner?
No, I don't think so. Who would be Golovkin's partner? We could put his brother in there.
Ooh.
Gennady and Max versus the Charlo brothers.
I'm gonna have to go with the Charlo brothers on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Even though Gennady claims that his brother was better.
Well, his brother has put on some weight.
And lost some hair.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
All right. What Michelle Yvonne gonna do about those belts?
It's not even the way you say his name or spell it.
I'm confused. Who is he talking about?
It's like it's this is written like two females, Michelle and Yvonne.
What are they referencing? I'm actually just lost here.
Yvonne Michelle is a promoter in Canada.
Oh, okay. I don't know who that is. Who he values more, Better Be Over Alvarez. Is Heyman's word the law for Michelle? Will Marcus Brown fight Arthur Better Be Over in 2018? Bonus question, does Clef know English?
I think Yvonne Michelle will try to ride Alvarez for as long as possible. If he's smart, he's going to try to offset these guys winning titles and stuff so he can build a fight between the two of them. So, like, one of them is going to end up beating Stevenson, build up the other one elsewhere, and then you have a big fight. Heyman's word is the law everywhere. The dude went to Harvard Business School. If he doesn't make you think his word is your word, he ain't doing his job. And Marcus Brown will not fight Arthur Beterbiev. I don't foresee that happening. And then, does Gleb know English? Not well. Seriously, I edit his pieces.
Yeah, I've actually read a few of Gleb's, and I had to message him on Slack and tell him that he spelled words wrong.
After I've edited him, at least.
Yeah, I know Tom. They've been on the site, and I've messaged
I know,
him.
Well,
and
I know Tom like has a far less heavy hand than I do in the editing, but I like edit everything heavily on the website. Like,
Is there multiple editors? You don't edit them all?
Yeah, no, I don't edit them all. Either I do it or Tom, and I know Tom is far more lenient than I am.
Okay. What chance does Troya have of catching a belt at 140? How long will the division stay bad, and who can save it?
He has no chance at getting a title.
Is the Rougarou guy going to be the one who saves it?
Him and Mikey.
Okay. What color is your mom's favorite vibrator? And you answered this already and said black.
No, I didn't. Somebody wrote my name there.
Okay, well, someone says black because it's the closest thing she can get to Roy's dick.
It's great.
That's a top five question here. Does Mexico love Mayweather or does Mayweather love Mexico? White Ranger Rollins.
I don't know. I think. I mean, he beat Marquez after all. And I guess Marquez even gave Mayweather respect. So I'm sure they love him. He beat up Canelo.
Mm-hmm. He beat up all their boys. How many rounds will it take for Deontay Wilder to knock out Anthony Joshua?
Probably one.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like realistically, it's one shot and Joshua could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, if you're asking for a prediction, like, when would he knock him out? I don't know.
Let's get it down to the second.
3 minutes, or no, 2 minutes and 52 seconds in the second round.
Okay. Mark that down. I'm going to call my bookie after this. I honestly think Usyk can get a belt at heavyweight. How well do you think he does if he moves up?
The only belt he can get if he moves up to heavyweight is the one that Joseph Parker has.
Mm-hmm.
Or he fights like the WBA regular, but we've already established that you don't watch those fights. We'd like just avoid those fights in general.
Mm-hmm. He's those are the ones skill. You watch two rounds in the middle of.
Yeah, exactly. But Usyk has skill. But like we just talked about this, you know, in the previous question, these guys only need one punch. And the thing that is so different with heavyweight is that there's no ceiling when it comes to how hard a guy punches. You know, at some point you kind of reach a ceiling in the divisions with weight limits because a guy can't get any bigger. Because he has to weigh a certain amount, and there's only so much power you could have. So I think it's too dangerous for Usyk. Like he'd have to fight a guy that's the right guy. Like Joshua and Wilder is not happening, and I'm a big fan of Usyk's, but it's not happening.
Hmm. Which division would have the best Super Six, and why is it light heavy?
I don't know who asked this question, but you're wrong. It wouldn't be light heavyweight. It'd probably be one of the more boring divisions to have a Super 6 in. It's predictable. The division that you actually should pick is featherweight. Think about it. You have Leo Santa Cruz, Oscar Valdez, Gary Russell Jr., Lee Selby, Abner Mars, and Carl Frampton. All names. Everyone recognizes them. And we all know basically what they bring to the table. And nobody's a clear favorite over the others, with the exception of maybe Mars and Selby. But these are fights. But those guys can show up and upset anybody. And then obviously welterweight, you have Thurman, Spence, Crawford, Garcia, Porter, and Horn as options. But this question, and I don't know where I was going to fit this in, so I'm just going to say it because right now. I'm going to tell you right now, the best fight you can make in 2018. Forget about Crawford versus Spence. Forget about Joshua versus Wilder. Forget about all that nonsense. The best fight that you can make in 2018 is Oscar Valdez versus Jorge Lara. That is a guaranteed fight of the year. You have two guys. You have Valdez, who likes to fight in Jorge Lara style, and Jorge Lara, who's the master at Jorge Lara style, which is, I don't care what happens, I'm going to knock you out. I have some class, but I use it all to get knockouts. These dudes will not, there's not going to be much defense in this fight. Like, it is a high risk fight between two guys who are going to show up and not be scared to throw punches. You know, you get guys, like, if you get Spence and Crawford or Spence and Thurman in the ring, there's going to be a caginess, as we saw with Canelo Golovkin. It wasn't just a slugfest that everyone thought it was going to be. Valdez versus Jorge Lara, that's the fight of the year next year, if they make it, which they won't.
Okay. So Tweed returns again. What do you honestly think about Wilder? What does he have to do for people to give him an appropriate amount of respect? He's no boxing virtuoso, but he's not a total constant windmilling spaz like Porter either.
I didn't even read that part of the question. I didn't realize he had put down Sean Porter. Yeah. I think there's an epidemic among boxing fans. And I don't think there's anything Wilder can do. Like, a meme has already been born. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's with Heyman and he's associated with being a ducker and being protective, like, he could go next year and knock out Fury and AJ. And we'll still hear not about how Wilder is great, but that he still did it by windmilling. And both of those guys were nothing but British hype jobs. I don't see anything that Wilder could do to earn people's respect, short of outboxing Terence Crawford or Lomachenko.
Wilder and Parker are both chasing a lucrative fight with AJ. What's your take on their promotional tactics thus far?
Desperate. I think it sounds like Parker's camp got a book called Negotiation for Alphas, and they're basically trying all the examples. And like, Eddie's like, this ain't his first rodeo. He's not biting on that crap. And they think they're gonna, you know, get a huge payday out of this, so they're trying everything that they can. But I don't know. I don't think that they're very realistic in their approach on how to get a Joshua fight. You know, they need Joshua more than Joshua needs them.
Mm-hmm. Here comes Tweed again. Who is a boxer you wish would just disappear off the face of the earth so that you wouldn't have to hear about them anymore? Mine is Jeff Horn. The jokes are barely funny to start, and now they have given me terminal ass cancer. I kind of like the Jeff Horn jokes, so I disagree with you, Tweed.
Well, I apologize about the cancer. and you may want to investigate Roy Jones for being the cause of that. Tyson Fury. I'm tired of him.
Sick of him? I don't know who I'd pick.
Pick somebody.
Okay. Let me pull up BoxRec and look at the top. Right now.
All right, we'll ask you this again. I'm going to put a note that we're going to ask you this again.
Okay, fine. Where was I? What is it going to take to make women's boxing more popular? I know that's a big question, and don't expect to have answers or a hard outline strategy. I like watching pro women fight, and it kills me when it pans to the room, and it's like a Ramada Inn ballroom with 45 people in attendance.
Okay, so he said, this is his quote, I like watching pro women fight. Yeah. Pro women. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, as opposed to amateur women, there's pro women. Okay, so I think, look, this is not a difficult question at all. It is really simple. The answer to this question is the same thing that would make men's boxing more popular. You need a personality. You need someone that can convince casual fans to make time to watch boxing. A personality that gets people to watch and care is what will help. Rousey did it in the UFC. You know, Ronda Rousey. She had tons of people that hated her.
Who's that?
And she had a ton of people that loved her. It's simple. Get people to care. Get people to talk about you who don't normally talk about you. Be somebody, like, interesting. That's it.
Tweet has so many female boxing questions. Next one's from him, too. Christina Hammer versus Kalisha Shields. The Shields is a weight class above. Do you think this fight happens in 2018? And the Shields steamroll Hammer.
Yes and yes.
Which, what was the girl that just, like, got her face busted up in the MMA fight that you guys are all obsessed with? That's the one.
No, not we were. We are.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We are obsessed with Heather Hardy.
Fucking weirdos.
Oh, what come are your on. Thoughts? You've seen the picture of her in glasses?
Yes, I've seen it. You guys have linked it multiple times.
And?
I mean, it's a picture. Congrats. You seen the picture of their face exploded?
I've seen a version of that, but the explosion is not her face.
Next question. What are your thoughts on breaking 100,000 subscribers? How did you come to be a mod of our boxing? Was Silky Johnson the OG mod? I'd like to know some of our boxing's sordid history.
Okay. So one, you know, it's cool. Like, it having 100,000 subscribers was something that I thought of, like, as like a goal, like at the beginning. When I started to realize that, oh, okay, well, what I'm doing is working here and we're getting new fans or new subscribers. You know, I said, like, I want 100,000 subscribers. I'm not happy until we get there. And then when we got 100,000, it was just like, I had expected it, you know? I had projected, like, the growth over, like, per month and stuff. And I kind of knew it was going to happen no matter what. So when it happened, it was just kind of like, what's next? Go on.
I was going to say you're like Nate Diaz and you're not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. So okay. Then the next question is, was Silky Johnson the OG mod? No, when I came in, there were probably 8 mods. And myself and Silky are the only ones still standing. And the only reason why Silky is standing is because we haven't been able to figure out a way to get him removed because he does nothing. He's like useless and he's just a name on the thing. But based off of the way it works, we can't remove him because he's above me. And so he's just kind of like holding us hostage there.
Nice.
How did you come to be a mod? Well, basically we had a mod and then he disappeared and a lot of stuff wasn't happening. So I just started doing it. And then one of the other mods who was a mod before just basically like added me as a mod. It's like, you know, you're doing everything. So, you know, just be the mod then. And then ultimately, I think that guy disappeared. And then we removed all the mods that were basically not doing anything or inactive. And that was like basically all of them. And then the first thing I did when I came is I added a couple, Jason and Adam. And then we've just been adding as we've gone on. There's a lot more drama that goes along with it. If you were around then, you know what it is. And if not, then, you know, you can go in the chat and I'll tell you, but I really don't want to bore anybody who doesn't care about that with a long explanation of why the hell it's great, but like why I became a mod of our boxing.
Okay. Given the subjective nature of boxing judging, how do you evaluate a scorecard or the quality of a judge without bias?
Okay, so I do this a lot when researching bigger fights, you know. You've seen the viewing guides that I post from time to time. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the past, if you look through them, I've predicted and pointed out which judges were going to score fights particular ways or which ones were not to be trusted. Adelaide Byrd comes to mind. I said in the Canelo Golovkin fight what she was going to look for, and she did exactly that. And what I do is I look at their history and I look at any fight that was a draw, a split decision, or a majority decision. And then, I look back at my memory of how that fight went and what I thought of the fight. And then I just kind of look at what they were looking at in that fight. So I can just build a profile of what their style is. And that kind of gives me what they're like, one, how they look at fights. And then the other thing is I see how frequently they disagree with the other judges. You know, if you have a judge that in one out of four fights that they judge where it's close, they lean the other way, like something's up, possibly. And so I just kind of look at that. Like, but it's really case by case, you know. They could be right sometimes, and it's the other judges. So you have to like just actually look and actually watch the fights and be able to recall them to know, you know, how good a judge is.
Okay. Fragmentation of boxing creates a barrier to entry for those interested in following the sport on a regular basis. How do you think this affects the boxing community and its relationship with general sports fans who only take interest in major fights?
Well, it makes it difficult. Like, you're just looking at the sport from a bird's eye view. And I think that's really hard. It's like trying to find Waldo in a World Where's Waldo book, except you have to look from like 5 feet away. It's not going to work out that well. And I think people just want to be entertained. They don't want to basically have a part-time job following every boxer in the sport. So it's much easier to just like watch whatever's on HBO, Showtime, and ESPN, or, you know, whatever PBC puts on the what do you call it? The major networks, I guess. So, you know, that's why you have so many casual fans that think they're hardcore fans, because they do watch all the boxing that they get their hands on, but they're not actually doing the work to follow all boxing, you know, watching the British cards and those domestic Mexican cards and all that stuff. So what boxer have you decided that you want to disappear forever?
Oh, no. I forgot I was supposed to answer this. Yeah, come back again. Well,
that's
I forgot about that question. Yeah, I'm gonna forget who I'm gonna tell that to. So while I think about that, you can answer.
This isn't a question. This is a rant. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a rant. I really do think Roy Jones Jr. is the best boxer ever. Maybe not the most gifted, Floyd, or the greatest, Ali, but the best. It's almost inconceivable that a guy won belts at 160 through heavyweight. Just absurd. If I told you David Lemieux was going to win a heavyweight belt, you'd call me insane. If I told you Danny Jacobs was going to move up to 168 and then light heavy, then dabble in cruiser, you'd tell me shut the fuck up. Please just hold up and think about this for a second. 160 to heavyweight. Even Kovalev couldn't do that, and he's got a two-division head start. The fact that Roy Jones Jr. did it is purely incredible. Sure, he didn't always fight top dog competition in his moves up, but the fact that he still won is incredible. Charles Martin or Dillian White, for all their faults, would still cerebrally assassinate Lemieux or Jacobs at heavyweight. The fact Roy Jones did it shows that he is the best. Fuck you and anybody that you love if you don't think so. From Tweed. Lots of vulgarity there. I can feel the passion through the words. Hello? Did someone break into your house and kidnap you? Where'd you go? Are you talking? Are you muted?
Oh, damn, I muted myself. thank God you kept talking. But this next question is really good. It's a rant with a question at the end, and I'm going to dismantle it.
Okay. Do you just not want to respond to tweeds at all? You
just no, it's like, on? Okay, like, okay, that's your opinion.
Okay, just let him get his shine out.
Yeah, some people, I mean, what am I going to say? Like, yeah, Roy Jones did some crazy stuff. Yeah, but he still got knocked out by Antonio Tarver.
I ignore that. Just got to ignore it. Some people think that there will never be a boxer as gifted as Floyd in our lifetime. I strongly disagree. Yes, in the very rare, but a lifetime ago... Yes, he is very rare, but a lifetime ago would have you watching Dempsey and Sugar Ray Robinson. Look at the incredible growth we've seen since then. Science and medicine are so much more advanced that I have to believe that within my lifetime, born 1992 to 2070, 78 years old. He did some math here. 78 years old is the male life expectancy. I'll see someone. I like it. He gave us a range. I'll see someone who's good or better than Floyd. It just seems impossible to me that we wouldn't. It would be like those chodes who think Harry Greb is still the best boxer ever. Your thoughts on this?
So essentially what he's saying is, based off of the progression that we've seen over time, it's only natural that we would see somebody better than or more talented or as good as or better than Floyd. And I disagree. I think we've plateaued as human beings. Specifically, athletes have plateaued. If you look at the NFL and the NBA, and it's never been like this. You know, the speed, the power, everything is just next level now. If you look at the way LeBron is playing, if you look at the way Russell Westbrook's playing, the NBA has never been played that way. If you look at the NFL, these guys are faster than they've ever been before. So, I think we are basically seeing the human body getting pushed to the absolute limit. And the proof of that is the amount of injuries that we're seeing people have to suffer with. And I think unless we're injecting drugs or something, this is it. You can't go any further, not without dealing with injuries. And I think, you know, a good example of this is maybe Andre Ward was as talented or more talented than Floyd, but look at the injuries he had to deal with. So I think it's possible that we see a fighter as talented as Floyd, but I think, you know, to be better is really putting your body on the line, because boxing is an incredibly taxing sport on the body. And, I think we're bumping up against the limit.
Okay. I just saw the picture of the comparison of Heather Hardy before and after her nose got exploded.
She still looks good.
It's jarring. She does not look like the same person.
You think she'll look better after?
No.
Because, you know, like sometimes if you get like injured with your face, then you get to do plastic surgery after.
Oh, okay.
Not saying that she would do that. Maybe she's not down for that, but like.
You know. I'm also confused why she's wearing like a swimming suit or a leotard at the weigh-in.
Maybe it's a fashion statement.
Okay. If that's where you want to go with it, I guess we'll call it a fashion statement. Anyways, next question. I'm not familiar with Miguel Cotto because I'm relatively new to boxing. Now that he's retired, what are your opinions on his career? When was he at his best and how good was he? Tell me about him. Also, what happened to Spartacus? I know he is banned, but why was he banned? The truth. From Mr. Canary.
Well, Miguel Cotto had a great career. I mean, he's a Puerto Rican star. He carried the flag after Tito Trinidad got knocked out by both Roy and Bernard Hopkins. And at his best, was considered one of the best body punchers in the sport. He got into brawls, but he had another side to him. The dude could box. He was really smooth in the ring. He won titles in multiple weight classes. And in my opinion, he basically had a great fight in every division he was in. And a lot of guys can't say that. So, you know, Cotto had a great career. He was a smart businessman. He made a lot of money. He made the right moves at the right times. I mean, you can't really say he had too many misses in his career insofar as not fighting guys. Like, he managed to get a Manny Pacquiao fight. He managed to get a Floyd Mayweather fight. And he fought Sergio Martinez for the middleweight title at the right time. I think if you look at like who were the two fighters that maybe Cotto could have fought and then he didn't fight them, it's like maybe Ricky Hatton and Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, mm-hmm. you can get away with not fighting those guys.
You're not avoiding the Spartacus part.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. He demands the truth.
Look, Spartacus is banned. Very simple. I always kind of like Spartacus as a guy who's, you know, the opposite opinion, you know, the sub can get a little circle jerky. Everyone kind of agrees all the time. And like, he brought a different perspective of the sport that was actually a popular one that's out there. But he has this thing where he cannot not make things personal. He can't avoid bringing up certain topics that trigger him and in turn trigger other people. And it just basically makes every conversation or every attempted conversation into just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to go. We brought him into the chat. We wanted to see if he was different, and he wasn't.
Who do you think is a good example of a very skilled boxer with too good of a chin and fighting spirit for their own good? I mean that they took unnecessary punishment by brawling instead of using their amazing boxing skills. I will answer for myself. Meldrick Taylor and Wilfredo Benitez came to mind. The two guys ended up with severe brain damage. It's scary to see them nowadays. From Mango Ship. Did I mess up the pronunciation?
Yeah. Benitez.
Okay. Benitez. Yep, that's the one.
He's not on their level, but the only one that really just pops to mind is Oscar Valdez, because he does have amazing boxing skills, but the dude can't avoid getting into brawls. That's all I got, though.
Okay. I'd like to know if there's any TV show or movie that teaches the casuals like myself to appreciate boxing technique. He lists some, I'm assuming it's an anime name. I have no idea. Mango Ship. Hajime no Ippo. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't watch like boxing related stuff like this, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah, me neither. Thoughts on Rigo versus Loma? Sneaky Avocado.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Look, it's a mismatch, and the hype around this fight is solely created by people who truly buy into the promotional propaganda. This is a mismatch. Let me ask you this question, okay? Would you be excited if you found out that Mikey Garcia's next fight would be against Leo Santa Cruz?
I don't know. Not really.
Would you be excited to hear that Sergey Lipinets will be moving up to fight Jermell Charlo?
Yes.
Would you be excited if Danny Jacobs was going to be fighting Sergey Kovalev?
I mean, I like knockouts, so yes.
Okay, well, I'm not interested in fighters moving up two weight classes and fighting the best guy in the division. Not interested at all. So, don't really care about this fight. I think it's overblown. I know they're both very talented, but just because you're talented doesn't mean anything. It's still a mismatch.
Who is your favorite domestic level British fighter? We all know how much you love them.
Tyson Fury.
Okay. Oh, he's the guy. Oh, fuck. I still haven't been looking for the guy I want to disappear. He just reminded me, because that's your guy you want to disappear.
I also like Jack Catterall. I like Luke Campbell. Those are two guys I like.
Okay. Where were we? What has been your favorite I told you so moment in boxing?
This was a really tough question. When I was looking at this, I kept thinking about it because I really couldn't come up with a good one. But I have two I had two coworkers who have great moments for this. So I had one. He actually was dating like the niece of Oscar De La Hoya, and I remember we used to talk about boxing a lot. And it was when Khan had signed to fight Garcia, and all throughout the lead up, I kept saying like Khan's gonna outbox Garcia. Like Garcia's pretty limited, and he kept saying over and over, Garcia is going to knock out Khan, over and over. Every time we brought it up, he just would say Khan's gonna get knocked out. And when he got knocked out, I was like, damn, this. I can't even face this guy now. And then I had another coworker who was adamant that Marquez would in fact knock out Pacquiao in their fourth fight. And I was like, dude, nobody's getting knocked out. These guys can't knock each other out. What do you know? The closest one that I could remember has to do with everyone's favorite fight right now with Guillermo Rigondeaux. During the lead up to the Donaire fight, I kept trying to post stuff and hint to people on the sub that he was going to beat Donaire. And nobody was having it because, if you don't remember, Donaire was like the hottest thing in boxing at the time. And well, what do you know? Rigondeaux embarrassed him. That's the closest thing, though. Maybe saying that Chris Algieri had everything to beat Ruslan Provodnikov when everyone thought Provodnikov was just going to murder him. And it looked like that early on. That's another one. Not too many, though.
Okay. Do you think that judges should wear GoPro head cams? If Adelaide Bird had worn one, it could be cool to rewatch and get her point of view.
That's cool, but no, I think it looks stupid. Maybe in the weeks leading up to the fight, they should wear one so we can see which promoter is taking them out for dinner.
Could you see a boxing promoter using the WWE model of subscription content delivery? As it stands right now, everything is either network television or pay-per-view. Online pay-per-view hasn't been implemented very well, and with attempts at being a top rank and Golden Boy offering a poorly mic'd up substitutions of the accompanying TV feed at full TV pay-per-view prices. In light of Sutherland having trouble selling the World Boxing Super Series on a 5x5 basis, does the subscription model look more like a viable avenue going forward? Net neutrality rules notwithstanding. Are you
Yeah,
okay?
no. I think here's the problem with this WWE model that people keep thinking of, okay? This is why it's unfeasible for a lot of these boxing promoters, or why they just won't do it. Because you got to have your own production company, basically. You got to have the cameras, you have to have the production, like all the things that go into production that people don't really think about, the editors, the sound people, the light, like all of that stuff has to be paid for. And it's easier to just use pay-per-view, or sorry, not pay-per-view, HBO, because you just borrow their feed, put your own branding stuff on it, and then you got the top-ranked feed. But that's a big investment, and it's why Netflix has not got into live sports, because they don't want to have to do that. So it's a big upfront cost to do that, and that's why we probably won't see it in the foreseeable future.
Okay. Curtis Stevens is moving to 154. This is his last chance. Does he have the goods to at least mount a title challenge?
No. Like, I don't think Stevens is going to be able to outbox guys, and he needs to like do something to outbox them. And so he can set up power shots and stuff. So it's, I don't know. I don't Stevens is done.
Okay. Should I care about Tevin Farmer? I've never seen any of his fights, but looking at his box rec, it seems like he put together a string of wins after some early career losses. It also looks like he has fists that are more pillowy than Paulie's.
I don't know. I don't rate Farmer that highly. I don't know where the hype came from with Farmer. I really don't. Like, I'm surprised people aren't taking this hype and putting it in Devin Haney. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, okay. I've never seen a Tevin Farmer fight either. Anthony Joshua has allegedly made comments on social media which make him sound like a racist and a conspiracy nut. One, are you enjoying the drama of this mini story? And two, do you believe the authenticity of his claims? Three, will it have any effect on his career? That's from Buttered White Rice.
I don't pay any attention to this. I find it kind of strange that Joshua is, you know, getting so much heat about this, and we didn't do anything about Tyson Fury or Billy Joe Saunders and all the crap that they said. And they do say. So I think Matchroom will do a good job sweeping this under the rug. Unless AJ does something stupid this time, I think it'll basically just get forgotten. The only thing that'll probably have an effect on Joshua's career, like the only thing that can, is like something that gets administered by a physician or something, but otherwise he should be fine.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's fun to read about his daily thoughts about the superior black race. I kind of hope he just like does a complete heel turn and turns into like the big bad evil guy, because I think that's gonna be fun to watch.
Well,
But I don't think it's gonna happen.
if he's going to do it, he should do it after he beats Wilder.
If he beats Wilder, come
Because you
on.
can't sell after he beats Wilder, you can't sell him as the face anymore.
Yeah.
So now playing the heel, he could do what Mayweather did and just beat up guys who you know aren't going to win, but you just sell the hope that maybe they could.
I want to see evil Anthony Joshua. All right. It seems like one of the new fads on the sub is to bash everything Max Kellerman ever says. I see people ripping on the HBO commentary team regularly. I feel like people just say shit because they think it makes them cool or savvy or in the know, just because they put Max Kellerman down. Every team has their moments, but by and large, I think HBO has one of the best and most consistent commentary teams. What are your thoughts? From Tweed.
I agree. The HBO still has one of the better commentary teams, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're used to it. I think if we were used to, like, just say we heard them for the first time, I think there would be a lot of like, wow, these guys are over the top, absolutely over the top with their like unrelenting praise and hyping. Now, I don't agree with being critical of Max. Like, I've held Max in really high regard since I was a teenager. I've followed him for a really long time. So, like, I'm not the most objective person on Max. You know, I do think that his comparisons to fighters of the past can be really stupid at times. But by and large, I love Max. I mean, I used to listen to his radio show daily here in LA when he was here in LA. So, like, I'm not down with the Max criticism. But the thing with HBO's commentary is that they're really looking at selling us this narrative. And if you're anything more than a casual fan, you don't need that. You know who the fighters are, you know what makes them good and what makes them not, and you're not interested in caring about them because they have a great story. You just want to see them fight because they're good. Or you want to see them lose because, you know, they're not good. So, I think that's a lot of problem, and I think a lot of newer fans, when you start to transition into following boxing more closely and you really don't need those stories and you realize that there's nothing but hype, you realize that, oh, it's actually really annoying and you don't want to watch it. Like, I just tune out whenever I see them do those, like, day in the life of, like, a boxer and what happened, you know, and what with his family. Don't care. I don't care.
Also, the HBO commentary team, sometimes you can get a little treat of Roy rapping his raps to you. That's still probably my favorite moment of the
Oh,
last.
Roy quoting himself.
Yeah, he almost forgot.
So it's such a Roy thing.
Yeah, Max is like, "Hey, Roy, weren't you hurt one time?"
Man, I was trying to tell you.
53. Kell's chocolate brownies. Do you think he has a special recipe? Does he do the white chocolate swirl, Hershey's, or Ghirardelli? I need to know. Would you watch Ezekiel and the Chocolate Factory starring Kell Brook?
I don't know. I don't care for this question.
I thought he was like making like a joke with the special recipe, like he has a special recipe for like moving up to 154 or something, but he actually just wants to know how to cook brownies.
Like, I'm just not into the whole, like, I don't think the chocolate brownie things is funny. I think it's really lame. Like, I'm
I
just
don't
not down
understand
with
it.
it.
My favorite part was when Errol Spence asked him, "What do you mean by chocolate brownies?"
It's like, you come up with that? That's lame. And it's true. It's completely lame.
Ooh, we have a riddle for the gentleman. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. Each wife had seven sacks. Each sack had seven cats. Every cat had seven kittens. Kittens, cats, sacks, wives. How many were going to St. Ives?
I don't
I've
know.
heard this riddle before.
I don't know.
I know the answer.
What is it?
It's one person. Because he met the guy himself who's telling the riddle from his perspective. He's the one going to St. Ives. And he met someone else with seven wives that had seven cats and seven sacks, all that. But he's the only one going to St. Ives. All the other stuff is just to throw you off. Spoiler. The answer is a number in the spoiler. One. Yep, I was right. Oh, God, I'm smart as fuck. Why do
Thank
you
you for
hate
that
HBO?
riddle. I don't care for riddles, though.
Why do you hate HBO? Is it because they made Roy put some clothes on?
Yeah, that's the last question, isn't it? I don't hate HBO. I don't know why. I just praised them, so, like, not down with that question.
Yep. Well, we're out of questions.
Well, that was. I thought that was going to take a lot longer. Those 54 questions, right?
54, excluding the riddle.
Yeah, that wasn't a question, and I wasn't even gonna answer it anyway. Cause, like, what do I care? It's a riddle. What am I?
You
Do I
just
look like
couldn't. You
Batman?
couldn't figure it out. You didn't know the answer. You're lucky I'm here.
I'm not Batman. Like, that's not what I do.
Is Batman known for being a riddle solver? Why are you
Yes,
still
he
linking
has a
pictures
villain
of
called
Kevin
the Riddler.
Hardy?
What did you say?
I said you're still linking pictures of Heather Hardy in the Slack.
Is that a problem?
I mean, no, but I guess not. You can do you if you want.
Well, what's your opinion?
She looks like she's getting a little bit of a wedgie here.
I think that was on purpose.
You think?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, what are your opinions of her?
I guess she's all right. She's not like amazing.
What would you classify as amazing?
I don't know. Let's see here. Let's look it up. What is amazing?
What is amazing? I'm gonna look for the definition.
Yeah. I'm gonna get myself a nice dictionary definition. I don't know,
Okay.
she her face is a little bit she feels too manly to me. She feels a little bit more manly than I would prefer.
On a scale of one to China, where would you put her?
One to China?
Yeah.
I don't understand this scale.
Oh
Is
God.
it a person named
Okay.
China or the people in
Oh
China?
God. So you listener at home, I'm gonna do it.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna do it. So you're looking, right? Where do you want me to send it? Slack or on the in the Skype?
I don't care. I'm a little concerned. I'm scared. Send it in Slack.
Okay. Slack, here we go.
That looks like a Photoshop. Someone who just like put a different face on a dude. What the
This is
fuck is
real.
wrong? I
This is
can't.
Attitude Era, bud.
I'm trying to zoom in a little bit. It's scaring me. That one looks better. The first one was
I think that's
bad.
after the surgery. If you can't tell, there's surgery that was done to,
Is this a dude?
Oh wow. Wow. So I sent him a picture of China, and I'm sure you know who China is if you're listening to this. And he is saying, "Oh Jesus Christ, what did Avcop just say?"
Have you guys seen China's dick from that terrible porno?
Well, it's clear that he has.
God, this is. I don't have words. I don't want to look at these. Stuff.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you don't know who China is.
I have no idea who this is.
She was like part of the Attitude Era and part of original DX with Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Who is this like mohawk tattoo person with Heather Hardy that Tweed just linked?
That's her boyfriend.
Huh.
Okay,
Okay.
we need to stop recording before a lawsuit follows us.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. We'll do another one of these mailbags. Make sure to follow, tweet us, or leave comments or anything you'd like. We will res reply. What's your username?
My username?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You have the stupid username. Don't say it.
Yeah, I have the barcode.
Yeah, this guy made a barcode
No,
username.
I'm gonna tell you. I'll tell you. Hold on. One sec, guys.
Nope,
It's
it's.
LILIILIILIIL. There, you got it.
You're a loser.
That's rude.
That's the best thing you could think of.
Wow, someone downvoted me in the fight thread. I was comment number 40, and I said I was comment number 40, and I'm at 0 points. Can you guys go ahead and upvote that for me? I want to
So
see
this guy's on
seven
a
upvotes.
rampage right now. He just wrote China was about as juiced to the gills as AJ.
Okay, I don't think that's possible.
Right, well, we'll be back in a couple of days with a recap of whatever fights are happening this weekend. What's happening this weekend? Miguel Cotto, his final fight. And you know what? Tickets are available. They're available in all sections. You can get them on Ticketmaster or something. We just took a look at the tickets available. There's a ton. Those tickets are going to drop in price. Don't miss your chance to see a legend like Miguel Cotto fight for his final time.
How much do they pay you to say that? You
Nothing.
shill.
Nothing. I mean, until he comes back to fight McGregor, which would be great, but more on that later. Thanks for listening.